Well, hey, my name is Nicole Stark. So glad that you're here. Today's, obviously you guys walked in and saw the sign, but today we're going to really be talking about spirit-led leadership over hype. And my prayer today is that you leave a little different when you leave here, because it's not what it thinks, okay? So what we're going to do is I'm going to talk for a short amount of time, and the rest of this incredible workshop is going to be very practical. And so if you don't like practical, then I'm very, very sorry. But I really felt like it was supposed to be very practical. And so I'm going to share a little bit about myself and then kind of get into just three main scriptures that I felt like the Lord gave. And then we'll get into some practical stuff. Cool? Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so a little bit about myself. I know I look 16. Guess what? I'm not 16. I'm 27. Is that crazy? But when I'm 40, I'm going to look 20. So it's going to work out very well for me, I hope. Okay. I attend the church, the Rock Church. It's in Anaheim, California. Get to be one of the pastors there. Yeah. With Pastors Jerry and Kimberly, and they're incredible, and I adore them and honor them. One of my, really the things that I do over there is I don't know if you're familiar with Jesus Disciple, which is something about OSL, and so I get to be the next gen with really over next gen when it comes to Jesus Disciples, so that really excites me. I worked there for 7 years, and so two of the roles that I had before I transitioned into this role is I did, anyone familiar with Bible clubs like campus ministries? Okay, so I got to do for 7 years, I went to 6 different high schools, the same ones, and we got to really minister and preach the gospel to public school students every single week, which was really awesome. And then I also was the junior high pastor up until last year when I transitioned out. And so today I'm going to share a little bit of my story and a little bit of how this whole workshop is really going to intertwine with what we're going to do. But I'm going to pray, then I'm going to read a scripture, and then we'll jump right into it. So pray with me, would you? Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace, your mercy that's new every morning. Lord, I thank you for us today. God, I ask that you would speak to us. Lord, would you speak to and through me today, God? Lord, I thank you that we would receive everything we need to receive from you today. We love you. We bless your name, Jesus. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. Okay, spirit-led leadership over hype. You guessed it. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit today. I hope that's okay with you. If you've got, I don't know if you take notes in here. I have this saying, though. That's what I would tell my junior hires. Note takers are history makers. Isn't that great? Nobody likes it. Okay. Well, anyways, let me read, and then we'll jump. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 8, not through 8, just 4 and 8. And let me read it starting at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he, that's Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. You can circle that, highlight that, underline that. That's the main focus of today. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so today, I want to just share a little bit about kind of what God has been doing in my life and just the last couple years here. Anybody familiar with the year of 2020? Anybody familiar with that year? Okay, awesome. So was I, okay? And back in 2020, I was stuck in my room. I live in Southern California, so I was really stuck in my room, okay? And when I was sitting in my room, I was bored, right? I had nothing to do and kind of just really just bored. And as I'm there, I feel like just decided, you know what, I'm going to spend some time with the Lord and kind of just see what God wants to speak to me today. And as I'm spending time with the Lord, I just kind of hear God say something. And he says, hey, Nicole, I want you, it's so random, okay, and I promise it's all going to make sense by the end of it. Just keep up with me here. But I remember I'm sitting in my room, the Lord just speaks to me and he says, hey, I want you to jump on a Zoom call next week, okay, and I want you to call these four people because I'm going to tell you a plan and a strategy on how to reach Gen Z. That's what God said, okay? So I'm sitting in my room, and I thought, how weird is this, okay? And so I go, okay, Lord. So I text these four people. Sophia is one of them. She came with me this week, which is really awesome. But I texted these four friends, put them in a group chat, and I said, hey, y'all, I know this is random. But I said, would y'all have time next week for a Zoom call? I feel like the Lord wants to give us a strategy on how to reach Gen Z, okay? And so reluctantly, they all said yes. And so I don't know about you, but naturally, I'm a very timid person. Like, very shy. I'm an introvert. This really scares me. You can ask Sophia. I was, like, meditating on Joshua 1:9. I'm like, be strong, be confident, be courageous, Nicole. Like, get up there. And I'm like, hopefully it's 12:30 soon, God. Like, please help me. And then I'm like, be strong and be courageous. Okay, so I'm very, very shy, and this scares me. But I asked them, like, hey, can you jump on this Zoom call with me? Right? And so because I'm a normally timid and shy person, I decide to, you know, pray. Right? So I remember I go into my room and I ask the Lord, I said, God, if I'm about to do this Zoom call with my friends, I'm going to need you to tell me something. Okay, I'm going to need you to make sure, like, I'm prepared and I've got something to tell my friends, right? And so I kid you not, this is true. I pray for 4 hours, not because I was full of faith, but because I was full of, like, fear, you know? So I'm, like, praying and I'm asking God, what do you want me to say to my friends? Okay, I'm about to jump on the Zoom call. What is it that you want me to say? What are these things that you want me to do? And so as I'm praying and just praying and praying, all of a sudden, I just stop for a moment, and I just still myself, and I say, Lord, what do you want me to say? And in the midst of this time with the Lord, he just drops this verse to me. And he drops, I don't know if you're familiar with Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. But he drops this verse, and this is what Joshua 6, verse 2 says. It says this, see, God speaking to Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho, its king, and the mighty men of valor. And as soon as I heard that verse, as soon as I heard it, I felt like the Lord said, Nicole, see, I have given you Gen Z, its kings, and everything that holds Gen Z. And so then I go into my Zoom call with some confidence now. And I go into the Zoom call with my four friends. And I look at them and I say, hey, guys, I really believe God wants us to have a plan, and he wants to give us a strategy to reach Gen Z. And I share this scripture. And I said, I feel like God wants us to see that he's giving us this land. And so as I'm sharing this thing, I'm like, okay, so what do you think should be our next step? And as we're on this Zoom call, one of the girls on the call says this. She goes, hey, Nicole, I think the Lord is leading us to do something. Before we can make any step, I really believe that the Lord is leading us to labor in prayer. Now, if you're a young adult like me, there's two things we don't really like. The first thing is this, waiting. Nobody likes waiting, right? And the second thing is no young adult really likes praying. Like, we could pray, but there's a difference between praying and then laboring in prayer. You know what I mean? Like, when you say labor, that means, like, I got to push through something, right? And so she says, we got to labor in prayer. And I'm thinking, oh, no. I don't want to labor in prayer. Well, she says this, it feels right. So I go, okay, let's do it. So 2 weeks later, because they had COVID, you know, for 2020, we meet in my backyard. And so we're in my backyard, me and four friends, and we're standing there, and we get these speakers, and we plug in speakers, and here's what we do. We just pray, and we worship, and we wait on God. And we ask God, God, what is it that you want us to do? What is the strategy that you have said you want to give us? Right? And as we pray and as we wait, it was in the middle of this that within about 2 hours, God begins to give us this strategy. And out of this two-hour prayer births something, really what we call backyard revival. Now, why am I sharing this story? Because it has to do with the workshop today. But here's what we began to do. God began to speak to us out of the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, and how he wants to raise a generation who knows their God, right? He's saying, Nicole, I want you to begin to do something to raise up a generation that doesn't just know of a God, but they know God. So when Goliath come in their way, they know how to defeat Goliath. Yeah. And so here I am with my four friends, and God is beginning to download these things to us. And can I tell you, I am full of excitement. In fact, I don't know if you're a young adult, but the number one thing you want to do when you hear God say something is just go for it. And so we're standing there and we're like, okay, God, what is it? Like, what should we do? What should our next step be? And here's the two things God tells us to do. Ready? He says, for the next however long, I've got two things for you. The first thing is I want you to pray every single week together. And then he said this, after you pray, I just want you to wait. This is what he tells me. And it is the most unromantic thing I could have ever heard. Unthrilling thing, unexciting thing. And so me and my four friends, we get this big old strategy from God. And here's what he says. Every week, you get together and you just pray. 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 And then once you're done praying, here's what he says. And then you just wait. And then when you've got nothing else to do, you keep on waiting until you've got something. And so, you know, At first I was like, okay, God, that sounds awesome. 3 weeks goes by. God, when is the strategy coming? A month goes by. God, we're waiting. And can I tell you? We did this every single week for 9.5 months. Every single week, we would get into my backyard and we would pray for about an hour, and then we would just wait on what God wanted to do. And here's what I began to learn, because we had a collective group of about maybe 30 young adults in this season of 9.5 months of praying and waiting. Is that when we began to really walk with these young adults, the Lord just began to started doing something inside of us that started to mark us in a way that he was preparing for. And God began to tell me, in this waiting season, you've got two options. You can either waste the waiting season, or you can allow me to instill something in you in the waiting season that's going to prep you for what I have for you in the future. And so for 9.5 months, every single week, we prayed and we prayed and we waited. And can I tell you, God began to do a work in my heart and in the lives of about 24 other young adults. I'm telling you, like, he began to strip things. He began to call out the pride we had, the arrogance, the insecurities. And over this 9.5 months, God began to build something inside of myself and this group of young adults. And finally, after 9.5 months, I remember the day. It was February 9th. It's a beautiful day. And I'm driving in my car, okay, like this. And I'm headed to the park. Anybody like the park? Only me? Okay, that's awesome. Okay, great. I'm driving to the park. And as I'm driving to the park, I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. And he says this, he says, Nicole, what if the ministry that you thought looks a little bit different than what you had imagined? And I thought, okay, well, what does that mean? And so I finally get to the park, and he speaks to me out of John chapter 4. I don't know if you're familiar with that passage. And John chapter 4 speaks of Jesus and this encounter he has with a Samaritan woman. And he begins to ask me this question. He says, Nicole, what if one encounter with me is all it takes for revival to take place in the community, in the schools, and in the families of those who come and encounter me? And so here's what he began to speak to me after 9.5 months of waiting and after 9.5 months of praying. He said, Nicole, I want you to have this gathering, okay? And so I'm in my car, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what does this mean, right? And he begins to say, Nicole, I want you to have this gathering, and I want you to call it Backyard Revival, right? And he says, and in this gathering, I want you to connect with your senior pastors. I want you to share this vision with them, and then I want you to have this promotion plan. And the Holy Spirit just spoke this promotion plan. Very clear. He gave me names to connect with. He gave me people to reach out to. And so here I am at the park, and the Lord just says, I want you to have a gathering. I want you to connect with your pastors, and here's your promo plan. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, where do you want us to have this gathering? And as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, you know, our human mind comes up with a lot of things, right? And the Lord began to tell me, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, he says, here's what I need you to do, is to trust in me and to not lean on your own understanding. And here's what I learned when it comes to just even following the Lord and leading people, is oftentimes we have the temptation to lean on what we know. Oftentimes we have the temptation, and here's the incredible part. When you lean on your own understanding, you're only leaning on what you have encountered, experienced, or know so far. And so I was 23 at the time, and God said, here's what you are not supposed to do. Don't lean on what you've seen. Don't lean on what you know. I need you to trust me with everything I've got, because what I'm about to tell you is a lot bigger than what you think. And so I'm sitting at this park, and then he says this, gather your team. And I said, okay, what would you like me to do? And you could have guessed it. I want you to pray, and then I want you to wait. And then I thought inside, again. Or I'm like, is there going to be 9 more months? But I texted the team and I said, hey, y'all, I believe God has given us this vision of one encounter is all it's going to take. Let's go, and can we meet in my backyard? And can we ask God on the location? Because here's what God said. I want you to gather the team, and I'm going to tell you through the team on where I want you to have this gathering. So I go and we start meeting with the team. About a week later, there's 14 of us. We meet in my backyard. 14 young adults, might I add. The oldest was 24. The youngest was 17. Isn't that like wild? So we meet in my backyard. There's 14 of us. And I share what I'm just sharing to you, obviously in more detail, about John chapter 4. And I said this, I said, hey, God wants to do something, but the strategy is going to come, the location is going to come from this moment right here. And so we began to pray, and we began to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it? What do you want to do? Where's this location? Now, if I could be honest with you in full transparency, I was hoping for a city hall down the street. 200 people, that seemed pretty big to me, okay? And so we're in my backyard, and after about an hour and a half of prayer, I point to every single person, and I said, hey, can you describe to me or tell me what the location is that God is saying? So the first person goes, and the second person, and they're describing things. They're like, I see grass. I'm like, okay, a little bit more clear, please. Right? And they're just describing and describing and describing. And finally, at the end, the last person, her name is Victoria Silva, she looks at me and she goes, I'm just going to, well, actually, she was standing like this, nervous. And I was like, okay, I called her Sweets. I'm like, okay, Sweets, what is it? And she goes, okay, I'm just going to say it. And she goes, I really believe God is telling us to go to Angel Stadium. And now I'm over here, 23 years old, okay? And I wish I could tell you I'm full of faith when she said Angel Stadium. But when she said Angel Stadium, I about nearly passed out. Because I thought, what in the world? That's 40,000 people. I got my mind on like 200 people in Anaheim City Hall, right? And so she says Angel Stadium. I'm standing here. And I just thought, you know what? Like, well, what do I got to lose? Right? There's something you need to know about me. I kind of just go for it. Like, I kind of just swing and I hope I hit something, right? So she says Angel Stadium, and I'm like, all right, let's do it. And I grab my buddy, his name is Nate Torres, and I said, hey, I need you to do something. And he said, what? And I was like, Nate, I need you to call Angel Stadium every single day until they answer, right? And he looks at me, he goes, okay, great. He goes, what's their phone number? And I thought, it's a great question. I actually have no idea, right? Now, just want to paint the picture just for a moment and what's going on. Just a group of young adults who got bored during COVID and asked God a question. What can you do with a group like ours? And here's what the Lord began to speak to me in my timidity, because I was scared, in my fear, and in my insecurity. He began to speak, just a few things. The first thing is this. He said you need to create a culture where people are heard and can share their giftings. And here's what I realized with young adults. Young adults don't want to be told what to do. They want to be a part of something. And so when we talk about spirit-led over hype, here's what we're really saying is I love this scripture. Every part does its share. It's every single person has a share. And the Lord began to tell me, make sure everybody's share is in. If you want to lead a group of people, make sure everybody has their piece. Everybody has a part into something. The second thing God began to do is he said this. As somebody who's about to run after Angel Stadium, he said, I need you to stay full of faith. I need you to be faith-filled. Can I tell you, it's hard to ask for our team members to be full of faith if the leader is not full of faith. It's kind of hard to say, hey, I need you to have faith that we can jump over this mountain, but deep inside, you're bound to fear, you're bound to insecurity, and you're bound to things, and it's hard to replicate what you and I don't have. And so Lord began to tell me what you need to start doing is you need to start pressing more in the secret place so that it could overflow in your public space and that what you're going to actually do is what's already in you, not something that you wish you had inside of you. And so we began this journey of Angel Stadium. And so here again, my buddy Nate Torres, you know, I love him. Here's how we got the number of Angel Stadium. True story, we Googled it. Shout out Google. It's there. Right? You literally just Google phone number of Angel Stadium, and guess what? It pops up. Is that not weird? I guess it's awesome. So every single day we call Angel Stadium. No response. Zip. And I thought, what a way to live this. Lord, you said, right? Every single day we called for 4.5 weeks. Can I tell you, faith needs to be persistent. Faith needs to be persistent. I think sometimes we don't step into the fullness of what God has for us is because we quit too soon. And the Lord has just told me, Nicole, I need you to be persistent. Persistent. Fight for it. You know, you ever seen those dogs with a bone? You ever try to take the bone? You can't. They're like so adamant about their bone. Can I tell you, we ought to be like that with the promise of God. I am holding on to this thing. I am not letting go of this thing, no matter what storm comes, no matter discouragement. I'm holding on to this. And can I tell you, your team sees. Your team sees. I heard this, that more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. So actually, the life we live is really the example of faith that we have. And so every day for 4.5 weeks, Nate calls Angel Stadium. And one day is a regular day for me. I'm at work, sitting on a desk by my cubicle. And as I'm sitting there, I get a call from Nate Torres. You know what's so interesting? The miracle normally happens in the mundane. The miracle normally happens in them. It's just a regular old day for me. In fact, it was so regular that Nate called me and I thought it was going to be a discouraging call. So I sent him straight to voicemail. That's how regular it was. I was like, I do not want to hear that they did not pick up. Like, that is not the time of day right now. Like, let me just finish my work day. So I put him straight to voicemail. And then a couple moments later, he calls me again and I'm thinking, oh, shoot, maybe like I should pick up. So I'm in the middle of the conversation. I was like, excuse me, I got a phone call to take. Right, it's just my friend, so it wasn't that formal. But I take the phone call, it's Nate. And I don't know, you've never met Nate. I know Nate. He is the most like, you know how those friends are just so expressive? That's Nate, okay? And he calls me and it sounds like he's not even breathing. He's like, Nicole, you'll never believe it, right? And I'm like, what? And he was like, Angel Stadium. They called us back, right? And I'm like, no way. I literally run to the parking lot. I'm like running in circles. I'm like, they called us back. Not one miracle took place. They just called us back, right? I'm like, they called us back. I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, what'd they say? And he was like, they said we can have the stadium. I'm like, no way. And he's like, yeah, but there's a cost. I was like, okay, what's the cost? And he's like, it's $1.7 million. I was like, awesome. He's like, what should I do? And I'm at this point like full of faith. I already crossed the line, right? So I'm like, book the stadium. Just say yes. And he was like, seriously? I'm like, seriously, dude, say yes. And so he puts me on hold. He unholds with Angel Stadium and he goes, we'll book the stadium. And then he calls me back and he goes, okay, we're starting the process. And then I hang up the phone, and then reality sinks in. You know, I'm like, okay, what did we just do, right? $1.7 million, this is awesome, God. What is going on? But remember, the second point God gave me when we went to the park was tell your pastors and leaders. And man, do I honor. Oh, I love my pastors. And as I shared this vision to them, can I tell you what they said? I was actually on a phone call with my pastor, and I said, hey, pastor, and she's like, hey, and I said, can I share this vision? And I felt crazy. You ever feel crazy when you share something? I'm like, how the heck am I going to tell my senior pastor that I need to rent out Angel Stadium to do a gathering to reach Gen Z, and it's going to cost $1.7 million? And so I tell her, and you know what she tells me? And you know when you can hear this, feel the smile on someone's face? She said, Nicole, go for it. And I thought, oh, really? That's really. I was like, okay. So here we start the process. $1.7 million, and I hang up the phone. Reality sinks in. And I get into my car, and I drive, and I'm asking the Lord, how the heck is a 23-year-old going to get $1.7 million. And I get into my room and I close the door. And now, not only does reality sink in, but sometimes when God says something and we're full of faith and then you start thinking about it, doubt starts to creep in. And then fear starts to creep in. And the Lord just began to tell me, get into my presence. And today, I'm going to finish the story, but I'm going to pause because I just want to remind those maybe who came in a little bit later, we're going to get really practical and we're going to get really back to the basics. Because here's what the Lord began to tell me. You can do everything I've asked you to do when you are connected to the source. And he began to minister to me out of John chapter 15. And he said this, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will be my disciples and you will bear fruit. But if you continue to read that verse, it's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. He says this, and you will bear fruit and your fruit will remain. Can I tell you what I want? I don't want just fruit for a season. I don't want to just produce something for a moment. Can I tell you what I want? I want something that'll last. I want to be a person that'll last. I want to be in my 30s and in my 40s and in my 50s, and I'm still lasting, and I'm still loving Jesus, and I'm still abiding. But here's what he began to tell me. He goes, you need to create for yourself something that not a lot of people have, and that is found in this secret place, that is found in deep intimacy with me. And when you can get deep with me, then you can go long. And so I just begin to go in the secret place and I close the door and I ask God, and this is kind of like what it looked like for me when I came home. I said, God, I thank you that you told us to do Angel Stadium, but God, if I could be real and honest, I said, well, what about my reputation, God? Like, God, like, what if I step out and we do this thing and it fails, God? Right? I'm like, God, I don't even know where to go. And then on top of that, I'm like, Lord, there's 24 young adults who are eager to see you do something. What if it fails? Like, what are you going to do with their hearts? Like, Lord, like, and I'm having this, like, honest and transparent. I'm like, where is this money going to come from? And as soon as I say that, the Lord says this to me, the Holy Spirit, just not audibly, I just knew. He said, Nicole, not one time will you have to negotiate. Not one time. It's a true story, by the way. It's recorded both on video and email because that's how we got to talking to the stadium. And I said, okay, not one time will we have to negotiate. So here we are, 23-year-old, I don't have like a college degree in business or anything really. And then my buddy Nate Torres, whose degree is in communication, so that's not helpful. Okay. Starting this negotiation project with Angel Stadium for the contract. So we jump on the first phone call. Her name is Courtney. Love her. And obviously Angel Stadium, they're not familiar with Christian, you know, concerts or stuff like that, gatherings. And so we're telling her, like, hey, you know, we want the stadium between first and third. We're looking at this kind of staging. Just telling her, you know, you got to tell them the vision and everything. And at the end of the call, she's looking at the price, right? And it sits at 1.7. I'm looking at the contract that's been emailed. I could see the line budget. The total says 1.7. She looks at it and she goes, hey, guys, I'm looking at this line budget. And she goes, and I kid you not, verbatim. She goes, something doesn't sit right with me. And I'm like, okay. Like, hopefully it's good news, right? Don't back out now. I'm already making my steps. And she said, the price doesn't look right. She goes, I'm going to lower the price. She goes, I'm going to lower the price from $1.7 million to $750,000. And I thought, oh. She goes, how does that sound? So I act professional, right? Courtney. That's awesome. Thank you. No, that sounds great. That sounds great. We hang up the phone and me and Nate, we're like, no way. 3 weeks later, we jump on a call with Courtney again to go over the contract, talking about details. We look at the new price of $750,000. Same thing. Hey, guys, I'm looking at the contract. This price doesn't sit right. She said, I'm going to drop the price. She drops it from $750,000 to $500,000. And I'm like, no way. Month later, same thing. Same thing all over again. Something doesn't sit. She kept saying that. Something doesn't sit right. I'm like, ooh, Lord, get her. You know? Get her. I don't know what's not sitting right, but thank you, Jesus. She drops it again. $500,000 to $300,000. Wow. Next call, same thing. Someone doesn't sit right. $300,000 to $250,000. And then about 3 weeks after that final call, by the way, everything is documented because you're just emailing everything. So it's like $250,000. And then I'll never forget, I'm in the youth room. I'm sitting over here on this side. Nate's across from me. And there's like people like walking. And we're on the call, and she's like, hey, guys, someone doesn't sit right with this price. We're really excited, by the way. And, you know, she doesn't call it a Christian. She just called, we're excited for your concert. It's not even a concert, but whatever, right? So we're excited for your concert. And she goes, someone doesn't sit right, though. I'm looking at the price, and I really think we can go even lower. And she goes, I'm going to drop the price from $250,000 to $150,000. More than 10%, she drops the price. And she goes, and that'll be the final price, $150,000 for Angel Stadium. And then she goes, how does that sound? And again, in my professional voice, I'm like, praise God. Yeah, well, I didn't say praise God because I don't know what she praises, but thank you, Lord. And then I said, yes. And I hang up the phone, and I am like running around the youth room like, oh my gosh, God just dropped it from $150,000. And as soon as I'm on my third jump, I hear the Holy Spirit just nudge me. He goes, did I not say not one time will you have to negotiate? Did I not say not one time will you have to negotiate? And I remember going into, I turned to the wall and I look at God and I said, Lord, thank you. God, thank you. God, thank you. God, thank you. And then it led me to my next question, where do I get $150,000? I'll be really real. Be really real. And it was in that moment the Lord said, you do not have to worry about the funds. Can I tell you, when it's in God's heart, God takes care of it. When it's in God's heart, God takes care of it. Here's what I learned in that process before I continue the rest of the story is this. God is looking for people who will relentlessly say yes to him. And so when we're talking about spirit-led over hype, we had to wait for 9.5 months. And then on top of that, another year before God began to actually do something. And here's what I had to learn. Hype takes an instant. Being spirit-led, you actually have to wait. Because the timeline when God says something is never on my timeline. It's rarely on your timeline. And it's always on his timeline, but it's always the right timeline. But what I've learned is God is saying, I'm just looking for somebody who will be so obedient to me that no matter how impossible it looks, they will stand in the gap and say, I'm willing to look foolish, I'm willing to look crazy, and I'm willing to take that step no matter how my reputation looks, and I'm going to trust in God. And so we begin this process of, okay, so God, where is the money going to come in? So that's $150,000 for the stadium. I'm like, God, well, what about the stage? God, what about the promotion plan? God, well, what about the journals? We want to give away something to people who come. Just all of these things. And so we met in my backyard, ironically enough. And on my backyard, we had this little paper, right? And we started to write down what we needed, what we were believing God for. And all of a sudden, as time went on, God just began to do the impossible. When it came to our promotion plan, we needed flyers. Can I tell you, I got a phone call, and somebody said, hey, I heard you're having this event at Angel Stadium. He said, can I print 500,000 flyers for you? I said, sure you can. No, I'm serious. 500,000 flyers were given to us for free. On top of that, we wanted to give journals to every single person in attendance so that they can take notes with pens. It's expensive. I don't know if you've ever looked at how much journals cost. I get a call a couple of weeks after that, and they said, hey, I want to print out your journals for free. And I thought, what? They just said, just tell us what you want on it, and we'll take care of the printing and the shipping. We'll actually ship it to Angel Stadium so you don't have to carry it to Angel Stadium. And I thought, praise the Lord. And can I tell you, as we begin to take these steps of faith, all the money started to come in. From where? I have no idea. But they just started to come in. And on April 30th of 2022, we saw about 7,000 young adults and high schoolers come and fill Angel Stadium. And we had our first backyard revival gathering. And I remember, it was awesome. God was moving. It was incredible. But here's really what I want to share. The first is this: being spirit-led requires us to wait. And then being spirit-led also requires us to remember who the Holy Spirit is. And I want to read to you what John 14, verse 15 says through 17 says, likewise, the Spirit also and I will pray the Father, and he will give you, watch, another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. But the Helper, I love this, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. Can I tell you, in the moment when I felt like giving up, because how many of you know it's easy to quit? It's harder to stay. It's easy to give up. It's easy to say no, God. In the middle of that, here's what God started to tell me. He said, get back to the basics. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't overcomplicate it. Get to the basics. And he began to ask me these hard, stern questions. And it was so simple. Just read your Bible every day. Get the Word of God in you. Get to the basics. He said, don't overcomplicate it. He told me, don't look at other ministries. Don't look at other things. He said, you focus on what I'm saying. And what I'm telling you is you get to the basics. Read it every day. Pray in the Spirit every day. So I would go every day. I'd walk in the park. And I just pray in the Spirit, 30 minutes every day, filling myself, strengthening myself. And then he said this. This is the most important part. This is what he told, and it has marked me truly. And he said, I want you to sit in my presence and don't leave until you're full. Just sit there. Do you know how awkward it is to sit? So I would go, I remember the first couple times I'd go in my room. And I'd already read, I prayed. I'm like, all right, God, what do you want me to do? Should I ask you something? I have my notebook, I'm ready to write. sit. And then what? Just sit. And I've learned it's in the sitting that he begins to download things to you. He begins to speak to you. And so for so much of just the journey that the Lord has led me on, he's just asked me to do three things. Don't lose sight of the basic things. Keep your eyes on me. Lock eyes with me, Nicole. Can I tell you, I remember I was at the park, and I'm wrapping up, and then we're going to do something. It's at the park, and I shared a very quick testimony from 1.7 to 150. It took me about a minute and a half to maybe share that story. It took about like 6 months to get there. And in the 6 months, there were so many unknowns. And I wanted to quit so many times. I wanted to give up so many times. And I'm sitting at the park and I'm praying in the spirit. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, can you please come help? You know, Jude 1, 20 says this, to build yourself up, to build yourself up in the Holy Spirit, to build yourself up in the Holy Spirit. And here I am at the park and I'm praying in the spirit. And I'm asking the Lord, would you just, Lord, if you don't give me something, I want to quit. I'm feeling the weight and the pressure of things. Like 24, I'm like, Lord, I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, I don't even know ministry, God. Like, I don't know, this doesn't make any sense to me, God. And as I'm sitting there at the park, he speaks this, and I want to read this to you. It's Isaiah 66, verse 9. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, would you give me something in the scripture that I could grab a hold of? And he speaks to me, Isaiah 66, 9, he says this, shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God? And as I'm sitting there, I hear God say this to me, did I not say the promise that I was going to do in your life? Did I not tell you that I was going to do Angel Stadium? And he began to ask me this question, do you think I'm the kind of God that's going to lead you this far to take you this far? He said, am I not the God who's going to do it? Did I not say it? Will I not do it? And can I tell you, it was in the middle of that park that I began to pray this scripture. Can I tell you, you should pray scripture if you don't. And I just began to pray this scripture. I said, Father, I thank you that you don't shut up the womb. God, I thank you that what you've got for Angel Stadium, you're going to bust through and you're going to open and you're going to bring it to pass. God, I thank you. And then you know what I began to do? I began to build myself up. And then from there, I took it to my team that was defeated. Can I tell you what will not help a defeated team? Hype. Can I tell you what's going to encourage a team that feels so weary? It's not your cool outfit. It's not your cool hairstyle. It's not that new how or the money you spent on those shoes. That's not going to encourage a soul. You know what's going to encourage the soul? The word of God. Can I tell you something that's going to uplift them? So you know what I did? I went in there and I went into this conference room and I saw, you know when you could just see it in your team? They're just tired. Yeah, there's about 20-somethings and two 17-year-olds. And here we are with this vision to take on Angel Stadium, tired and exhausted. And here's what the Lord told me. You lead them to my feet, bring it back to the basics, and I will strengthen their heart, and you will run this race. And it was in that conference room where I shared this scripture, and then we put on some music, and we begin to worship God, and we begin to declare the goodness of God, and we begin to declare the faithfulness of God, and we begin to declare, one of my favorite scriptures is how God talks about his right arm it's strong. We don't serve a weak God. We don't serve a God who can't. If God parted the Red Sea back then, surely he can do it today. If God did, and I would tell this to myself and to the team, if we serve a God who did all of that in the Old Testament, he sure as heck can do it today. Can I tell you, the miracles that God did back then, he still wants to do today. The things that took place, the breakthroughs that took place, he can still do today. And I've told God, I said, God, I want to see that in my life. I want to be bold enough to believe big, and I want to be obedient enough that when you say something that's impossible, I'll be the first to step in. I want you to know, God, that you've got obedience and willingness from me. And so we began this journey of going back to the basics, of praying, of worshiping. And I remember after that, I went to my room. I don't know if you ever do this, I do this, or I did this, but I remember a couple, maybe days later or after that, I go into my room and I wanted to worship God, right? And so I'm going to worship, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but have you ever like worshiped based on your feeling? So if you're like feeling a little somber, you put like a little slower song, right? And you're like, thank you, Lord. Yeah. So I did that. I put on a song and I got on my knees like this. And I'm like, Lord, thank you. Minister to me. And he said, get up. So he said, get up. And he said, change the song. And he said, put some praise in your mouth. Put some faith in your heart. Get to dancing. Get to praising. Get to declaring. And here I am in my middle of my room, and I change the song, and I put this Planet Shaker song that I remembered from high school, and I'm like dancing. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm building up my faith. You want to know why? Because sometimes we've got to put some praise into our lips and start telling God, this is who you are, and this is what I'm going to put my faith to. I'm not going to follow my feelings. And can I tell you, we ought to lead a generation to not follow their feelings. We ought to lead a generation to say, hey, you could feel that way. It's a great thing that you can feel it. But can I tell you, don't follow it. And so sometimes what I had to do with myself and with our team is there's a culture of feeling everything and then sitting in it. And the Lord's like, yeah, feel it. Now praise yourself out of it. God's got land and God's got territory for us to take. And he's like, eh, we've got a lot of feelers. And then we just sit there and wallow. And I love, and here's what the Lord said. And I mentioned this to some of you as I was meditating on it before because I was a little nervous to get up here today. But he says this to Joshua in Joshua 1, two things. The first, he says this to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now I tell you, arise. Arise. Get up. Joshua, get up. Because I've got something for you to take. And then he says this, and be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. And so today, I'm done now. Here's what I want us to do. It's going to be brief. It's going to be awkward for some. So my bad. But the Lord just led us to this. He led myself and the team to this. I just want you to pray in the Spirit. And as I was just praying for this moment for us today, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it that you want us to walk away with? And here's what I just felt like the Lord said. He said, there's some people in here, not all, but some, who've had dreams that have been dormant. That they've dreamed some things, and just as time has gone by, it's gotten really rusty. There's no oil. It once squeaked, and now it's kind of just there, kind of put to the side. And today, I feel like the Holy Spirit just wants to, like, revive some dreams, to believe God again, to trust God again. To get to a place that goes, God, like, you've got, I'm going to be unwavered in my faith. You know what really impacted me when I was in high school? Was those who have gone before me. One of my favorite passages is this, you will reap a harvest in which you have not labored. Can I tell you, oh, I know I'm here because of those who have gone before me. And I honor those who have gone before me. You will reap a harvest in which you have not labored. You know, we need a generation. A generation is looking to us to go, God, I'll take that risk again. When I was in high school, I was so moved. I would go to conferences at my church, and I would hear the stories of my pastors and leaders who would just keep taking the step of faith, unwavered, unashamed, just bold and said, God, I'm going to do it. And today I feel like God is saying, for some of us, I want to awaken that in you again, to be able to stand in that plate again. To be able to go, God, I'm going to swing again. God, I'm going to believe you again. God, I know I've been in for 30 years, but God, today I'm going to be refreshed. I'm going to believe you again. And I'm going to trust that what you told me 30 years ago, you're going to do today. That what you told me 50 years ago, you're going to do in the future. That what is ahead of me is far greater than what's behind me because you're still working in my life. And I think today, God just wants to awaken some of us again to go, I'll believe God again. I'm going to trust God again. I'm going to take that risk again. I'm going to step out again. And can I tell you where that comes from? Jude says it in chapter 1, verse 20. To build ourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So here's what I want to do. It's going to be quick and then we're going to end, but can we just stand for a moment? Just stand. And in fact, as you guys are standing, here's what I want us to do. I want us to think, what is God asking you right now to awaken? Oh, what is that dream? What is that thing that has been left dormant? What is that very thing that has been put to the side? And just for the next maybe 3 minutes or so, what I want us to do is I want us to, one, thank God, but then I want us to pray in the Spirit, and I want us to be strengthened again, allowing God. So could you do this? Would you just lift your hand? And right now, just for a moment, can we just begin to thank God? Oh, thank him for his goodness.